Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with studies in the book of Genesis. I sincerely hope that you folk who listen in continually to this program are reading the book of Genesis over and over again. It's a wonderful thing to have the context in your mind so that as the truth is brought out, you'll be able to see it. And as we go back over and over again, picking up things to connect them together, it'll be clear to your mind, clear to your thinking, and I trust joy and peace to your soul. It's a wonderful thing to know, too, that the Spirit of God has come to lead us and to guide us into all truth. The Lord has not left us to our own selves, to our own ingenuity, to our own reasonings. The Spirit of God reveals the deep things of God to the open heart, to the open mind. This is what you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you remember, and in chapter 2, especially in chapter 2. I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, even the deep things of God. For what knoweth the things of a man, but the spirit of man is in him? Neither can we know the things of God except the Spirit of God who indwells us. He comes to reveal to us. As our Lord could say, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will take the things of mine and show them unto you, and he will show you things to come. Why don't we Christians really get down into our Bibles and find out what God has said? I say very frankly that you never lose by the reading and the rereading of the Word of God. As Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Nothing delights the heart of God more than for our men and women to put their trust in him. And faith is evident by obedience to his word. But how can I be obedient if I do not know what God wants me to do? So I go to his word. And I find, as we have been studying this book of Genesis, especially from chapter 12 on, with God dealing with Abraham, the man of faith, and I believe given to us as an illustration of all the tests and trials of faith. If he's the father of those who believe, then he'll know something about the tests of faith. And we find that faith is never destroyed by tests. Faith is purified by tests. Oftentimes we murmur against God because of the tests, or the circumstances, or the suffering, or the affliction through which we may go. But my friend, it is part of God's program for your growth in the things of God, for your growth in the knowledge of God, for your growth in the grace of God. As Peter could say in 1 Peter chapter 1, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen we love, and so on. Now in chapter 21, if I may go back a little wee bit, in chapter 20, we had where Abram failed God. At 99 years of age, and Sarah is 89, he failed God. He left the path, or should I say, he left the place of fellowship and walked the path of disobedience and went down to Gerar and got himself into trouble. He lied about Sarah. He deceived Abimelech. And God stepped into the picture in sovereignty, in sovereign power. He just said to Abimelech, I kept you from sinning against me, that is against God. And again I say that sinning is primarily against God. We may sin against men, but primarily we sin against God. We manifest our disobedience and our rebellion against God. We want our own way instead of God's way. And then you remember of how Abram is rebuked by the world. Abram then confesses his sin, is restored to fellowship, prays for Abimelech,
and God heals Abimelech and his people. And I must not forget to say also that Abimelech rebuked Sarah for her part in it. You see, the world is very, very quick to rebuke God's people when we walk after the flesh. It's very, very quick to say it and very, very quick to criticize us, to tell us we're no better than they are. And this way we ruin our testimony to the world and we bring dishonor on the name of the Savior. Oh, how we need to walk with God for his name's sake, for his honor's sake, as well as for our own sake. Now, in chapter 21, we had the birth of Isaac. We were dealing with that. The first 8 verses, we had the birth of Isaac. I'm not going to go over it again. And then we have the battle, or should I say the trouble caused in the family, verses 9 to 12, between the bond and the free, between Isaac and Ishmael. And you remember, Ishmael is 14 years older than Isaac. And of how God told Abram to obey his wife in this fact, that to cast out the bondwoman and her son, to obey Sarah. And you remember, it's because the promised seed was involved. The promise is to Isaac, not to Ishmael. If you want to follow that through, I would suggest Galatians chapter 4, 22 to 31, where you have the child of the free and the child of the bondwoman, and that battle goes right on down through the centuries. The fruit of the flesh is always is contrary to the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 6, you remember, pardon me, it's in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 16, where Paul says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh desireth, lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other." And then in chapter 4, it's given as an allegory. The child of the bondwoman is always at war with the child of the free woman. That is, Ishmael against Isaac. Sarah is against Hagar. And it's always the spirit and the flesh that are contrary. I don't want to follow that through except to mention it. Now, in verses 14 right on down to 21, you have Hagar and Ishmael. And remember again that Hagar and Ishmael are going to be blessed because of Abram, that is, the son of Abram, through Hagar, is going to be blessed because of Abram. And I was closing our last lesson with the fact that God blesses people because of God's children who walk with him. Whenever you and I walk with God, he blesses others. Not only does he get honor to his name, but he brings blessing to others. That's why I was appealing in our last lesson for us to pray, to intercede for our land. When God's people pray, when God's people walk in fellowship with him, this is the important thing, for us to walk in fellowship with him, not only for our own sake, but for our country's sake. And it may be God will put upon you the ministry, the spirit of intercession for our country. We may not follow the pattern of other nations that have gone down the drain. And I could sit here and tell you about nations, about them. At one time they were strong for the word of God, strong for missions, etc. Evangelical in their stand for the word of God. And now they've turned their back on the word of God and they've followed the other nations and they've gone down the drain spiritually and economically and socially and morally. And we stand out like a sore thumb among other nations. Oh, how we need to pray that this land of ours will stand for the word of God. You pray that our leaders will stand for the word of God and not compromise with the world, but will stand for that which will glorify God. And I tell you, if we don't, then we'll just follow the path of other nations and come under the judgment of God. Now let's follow along here. I'm not going to take time about Hagar and Ishmael. You'll find where God appears unto them And he said, I will make him, in verse 18, I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. That is, Hagar did, and she went and filled the bottle with water and fed her son. And verse 20, and God was with the lad. He grew and dwelt in the wilderness, became an archer. And you remember, his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. He'd become now a man. Very little said about this. It ends up with Ishmael being married to a woman out of Egypt. See, there's no walk with God. There's no fellowship with God. But nevertheless, he's blessed because of Abraham. Now, from verse 22 to the end of the chapter, we have this man, Abram, and Abimelech. He had Abimelech in the preceding chapter. And Abimelech came to Abram and said, listen to it, God is with you in all that you do. Now, you see, Abram's back in fellowship with God. And when he's back in fellowship with God, even Abimelech, the neighboring tribe, saw the blessing of God upon Abram. Again, I plead with you to walk with God. Lot is blessed because of Abram. Ishmael is blessed because of Abram. Abimelech is blessed because of Abram when he walks with God. Notice that, please. And he made a league with him, made a covenant with him. Now, swear to me, by God, that you will not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son. But according to the kindness that I have done unto you, you will do to me, to the land wherein you have sojourned. And Abram said, I will swear. And Abram reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I didn't know about this thing. And you didn't tell me about it until just now. And then you have the covenant. Verse 31, he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. And thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Philcol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Will you please notice Abraham and Abimelech in chapters 20 and 21. When Abram is walking in the flesh in chapter 20, he sins against Abimelech. He deceived him. He lacked the courage of faith. He was rebuked by Abimelech. And then he confesses his sin to Abimelech, is restored to fellowship, and then prays for Abimelech and his people. We've had that in chapter 20. Now he's back in fellowship with God, and his life becomes a testimony for God. He is still a pilgrim and a stranger. You know, I think of that verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. The preceding verses give to us Abraham living in tents with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He's still a pilgrim. But that 13th verse, you remember, these men of old, they heard the promises. They were convinced of the promises of God. They obeyed the promises of God. And they confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They confessed they were strangers and pilgrims. They wandered about living in tents. Here they had no abiding city. They sought one to come. And as verse 16 of that same Hebrews chapter 11 says, God hath prepared for them a city. Remember that. Just one more thing in verse 33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called upon the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. The everlasting God. Hola. Did you notice? This is the fourth one. The revelation of God. You see, there are no shortcuts to spirituality. And there are no shortcuts to knowledge, spiritual knowledge. As Isaiah 28 says, here a little and there a little, precept upon precept. As newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. And as we grow in the Word of God, God keeps adding to the revelation to our hearts. You don't get all the truth at once. Now, you may attend a school like Mama School of the Bible, and you go for 3 years if you want to, or you can take the grad course for 1 year, and you get a certain intellectual knowledge of truth. But it doesn't all become a living reality at once. As you go on with God, walking in what truth you see, then He adds to it. First of all, the God of glory appeared unto Abraham. Chapter 7 of the book of Acts, verses 2 and 3. The God of glory said, get out. And then, through Melchizedek, he received the revelation that his God was El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth. He gave him that revelation because he's going to have a subtle test by the king of Sodom. King of Sodom is going to say, give me my people and you take the goods. And it was quite a materialistic offer by the king of Sodom. No, 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 said Abram, my God owns everything, and I'm not going to give you the privilege of saying that you are the one that made me rich. Do you remember that? That's in chapter 14, the end of chapter 14 of Genesis. And then in chapter 17, he's revealed as El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, the almighty God, the one who nourishes, the one who keeps his word, the one who can do anything he wants to do. He's the almighty God. He's the El Shaddai. This is the God of the patriarchs. Now Abram, after he's failed God, been restored back to fellowship, he's brought blessing to the whole people around about him. Now he calls upon the name of the Lord, the everlasting God, the eternal God. You know, I'm reminded of a scripture or two about that. Do you remember? In Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is Moses' last words, you remember, in chapter 34 of the book of Deuteronomy. You have where he, the man whom God knew face to face. But in Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I'm tempted to quote that verse from the 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, of El Elyon, shall abide under the shadow of El Shaddai. I will say of Jehovah, He is my refuge and my strength. And you follow along through. By the way, in those two verses, Psalm 91, you have El Elyon, the Most High God, you have El Shaddai, the Almighty God, and you have Jehovah, the ever-present God. Now, Abram calls upon his God, the everlasting God, the everlasting God. He's not only the Almighty God, but He's the everlasting God. Can I give you a little wee bit this morning by way of this word, the everlasting God? I'd like to read to you from Isaiah chapter 40. I'm not going to read all of it, just two or three words, just for your own encouragement. Listen to it. Lift up your eyes and look on high. And behold, who hath created these things? Bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, the greatness of his might. He is strong in power. Not one faileth. Hast thou not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. I could put those words in there. The everlasting God, Jehovah, the El Elyon, the El Shaddai, he faints not, he never gets weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Yea, the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do you mind me taking these two verses? Hast thou not known? Have you never heard that the everlasting God, Jehovah, the Creator, the El Shaddai, the El Elyon, He never faints. He is never weary. And you can't search out His understanding. But you know what? They that wait upon the Lord. Let me change the wording of that. Let me give you the literal of that. They that entwine their hearts about the Lord shall change their strength. We'll exchange our weakness for His strength, the strength of El Shaddai. This is Abraham in fellowship with God. It's for you. It's for me. They that entwine their hearts about the Lord shall change their strength. What's going to happen? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They get God's vision. They shall run and not be weary. They become God's messengers. They shall walk and not faint. They won't get tired en route. Oh, the wonder of it all, that our God is the everlasting God. He's the one who never fails. He's the one who is never weary. And He tells you and He tells me, if we will entwine our hearts about Him. Putting it a little different way, those who fall in love with Him will exchange their weakness for His strength. They will get His vision. They'll become His messengers. And they'll not faint as they walk this pathway here on earth. My, what a promise. It's based upon one thing. They that entwine their hearts about the Lord. And when Abraham entwined his heart about the Lord, you have blessing all the way around him and the purpose of God fulfilled in and through him. And when you and I walk with God, we get God's vision, we become God's messengers, and we'll conduct our lives so that the blessing of God will be showered all around us. So, entwine your heart about the Lord today, will you? Will you? Will you? Just walk with Him today. And the Lord bless you for His precious name's sake.